through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Welcome into Tom, Jake, and Stacy. We are one day closer to the Super Bowl. We're pretty psyched up about that. We're going to be discussing the matchup here in 1 second. We're supposed to be talking to former Steeler Jerome Bettis coming up at 12:15 today. By the way, Jerome Bettis has not been a particularly popular guest on our station over the past 10 years because of what happened in Super Bowl 40. Everybody just hates the Steelers. We're at the point where we can forgive the Steelers, right?
I think so. I mean, are you mad at the Steelers or are you mad at the refs?
Well, that's the argument I always made, Stacey, but, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, nobody really wanted to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know if people are ready to forgive or move on from
just move the Steelers. On, not forgive. You don't have to forgive.
I think but, like, new enemies have been established.
Taking it out on Jerome Bettis
exactly.
Doesn't make
yeah.
any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for sure more on the referees than anything else. But, hey, you know, you're a fan. You're like Graz has always said, fan short for fanatic, right? So
leave Jerome alone.
Let Jerome cook. Let Jerome cook. So he's coming up at 12:15.
Hate mail. Excuse me, you guys have hate mail already? I don't know how it got delivered so quickly, but it's outside.
all right, so let's take a look at this Super Bowl matchup. And by the way, our playoff coverage brought to you by Washington Farm Bureau Healthcare. I'm just throwing this out there, okay? This game really could go a number of ways.
Okay.
Because if the Chiefs are down early, we know that they have the capacity, the weapons, to come back and put up 50 points in the blink of an eye. But you know what? We also knew that same thing about the Broncos back in 2013, didn't we?
Yeah.
That team set a record for points. They scored over 600 points that year. With maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. All right, so what happened in that game? A great defense came in and stopped them in the Seattle Seahawks. I'm not saying it's the exact same matchup, but I started thinking about it. Just roll with me on this for a second.
Okay.
Tell me, all I want to know is that I'm not nuts. I don't care if I'm crazy.
Well, I'm not going to tell you that, but I'll tell you what
you're
how
not
I
gonna,
feel about your argument.
You're not going to confirm that I'm not nuts. Okay. In this game, Patrick Mahomes' equivalent, Patrick Mahomes, is Peyton Manning.
Okay. I would say that I would disagree in the aspect of that he is more mobile than Peyton Manning.
I'm not saying they're the same. I'm not
saying
they're the same.
Well, I mean, you got to do the quarterback as the quarterback.
I'm saying that the same thing could happen to Patrick Mahomes that happened to Peyton Manning.
Got it.
Okay,
yes.
Next one. Tyreek Hill could be Demaryius Thomas.
Yes.
You know what? I want to change that. Travis Kelce could be Demaryius Thomas.
Bigger body. More like it.
You put in a big shot on Travis Kelce and you set the tone that way, that could change the game in a significant way. I know one guy's a tight end, one guy's a wide receiver. Different. Nick Bosa could be Cam Chancellor. He could be the game changer. I'm not saying he's going to lay one in on Travis Kelce necessarily. He may end up setting the tone, being a force in the backfield against Patrick Mahomes. But to me, Cam Chancellor was the difference maker in that Super Bowl, I think, on defense. And I think Bosa could be that guy in this game.
It's the tone setter, right? And I do think that Nick Bosa has that level of ability to, when he gets going and he gets a sack or he gets a TFL, he has that ability to really change the temperature of the game. So I would agree with that.
Jake, I appreciate you saying TFL instead of tackle for loss.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I liked it.
When you said it, I was trying to figure out what you meant.
Yeah.
A tuffle.
I would have gotten it eventually. Next one is Jimmy Garoppolo is Russell Wilson, meaning they don't really matter.
Oh, whoa. Whoa.
Did Russell Wilson matter in that game?
From a national perspective, not as much as the defense.
Right.
Yeah, so
I'll agree with you there.
I mean, there are some similar things that are shaping up in this game that you can absolutely point to in terms of the style of the offense for the Chiefs and the style of the defense. I mean, I would I would agree with a lot of those things that you just said.
Right. I mean, they're both good quarterbacks. Russell's a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. Don't mistake what I'm saying. I'm just saying that they don't have to go out there and give an MVP performance for their team to win. Garoppolo hasn't done it all year.
Yeah, the national perspective of Super Bowl 48 and of Super Bowl 54 is defense versus this top offense.
That's right. All right, next one here. You guys remember Malcolm Smith, Super Bowl MVP?
I sure do.
His equivalent is Mark.
There you go.
Mark.
You got it.
Mark.
Zaczynski.
Nizocha? Nizoka?
Who the heck is that?
Exactly!
Oh,
who
wow.
the heck is that,
wow.
indeed?
Does he even play?
I don't know.
Did you just pick a name?
Yes.
Yes, he just picked a name.
I looked on the San Francisco defense, and I picked out the one guy I've never heard of. And whose name I couldn't pronounce.
But does that mean he's going to get a pick six?
Maybe.
Possibly.
You never know, Stacey. I mean, look.
Don't forget Malcolm Butler. Wasn't he a big part
Smith.
Of Malcolm Smith? Oh, no.
No, Malcolm Butler was another.
No,
yeah.
we don't have to go there.
Okay.
Yikes.
You want to just leave that at the door?
I'm just going to, I'll see myself out.
By the way, this guy is a linebacker. Sam linebacker. Mark it's N-Z-E-O-C-H-A.
Okay.
Mark Nizoka.
Who else do you have?
We'll call him. The next one is Marshawn Lynch is my boy, Juszczyk.
Okay, Juszczyk.
Juszczyk could get the MVP in this game.
I think I'd combine a couple running backs.
I would combine all of the three running backs that they have.
Sure, fine, if you want to be more specific and less fun about it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
If
That's
you want to be realistic about it. Fine, but we're doing it my way.
Yeah, back to serious radio here. Marshawn Lynch. Look, Marshawn Lynch factored into that game in the Super Bowl, probably in a way we don't remember. But Juszczyk is that kind of guy. I mean, is he a tone setter? He can be. He can be, but he's a huge factor in what they do in their running game.
Okay.
But and that's all I have.
What a way to end it.
Well,
and that's all I have.
No, but think about it. In a given football game, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, how many difference-making players do you really have?
I mean,
you have the quarterback on both sides. One guy's good. Maybe the other guy's good, too, but maybe one guy's bad. You have one or two defensive players,
okay.
A wide receiver, etc.
I'm ready for my rebuttal.
Go.
I see what you're saying as far as, A, the idea that it's a defensive led team versus a top-tier offense that's been kind of the darling of the NFL for a full season, if not two seasons. And I see what you mean by this could be yet another perfect reminder of how defense wins championships. And a defense comes out and just stifles that offense that did so well through 16 weeks, and the playoffs. But I think that this offense is a different kind of offense than Denver's, specifically because of Patrick Mahomes versus Peyton Manning. I think Patrick Mahomes is at a better place in his career, even though Peyton Manning was still setting records. And any Broncos fan right now would hate me for saying this. He didn't have everything, all the weapons that he used to. And Patrick Mahomes is a kind of improviser that Peyton Manning wasn't.
Are you saying Patrick Mahomes is better than Peyton Manning?
No, I'm saying that Patrick Mahomes, I think, will be able to perform better under pressure. And this is only through two seasons of watching him. And Peyton Manning had amazing, amazing seasons, but he was older at the time. And that this Seattle team was just stifling.
Well, it's not very controversial to sit there and say that Mahomes is more mobile than Peyton Manning. Manning was
but
never
But it's not even more mobile. It's not even more mobile. He's better under pressure.
Well, I do believe that aspect, but that's also because he is mobile. He is mobile. He has the ability to throw from off platform. You know, Manning was more of your traditional throwback style of pocket passer that has dominated the league for so long, and now you're seeing this new change, this new style of quarterback, you know, really, you know, the first guy kind of really, you know, showing that is Russell Wilson from different arm angles, from his mobility, that this and that. And Patrick Mahomes in 2 years, you know, first two seasons as a starter has just performed at an unbelievable level. So he is going to be the X factor in the game in terms of how he performs. But I do think that people get lost in the excitement of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in this offense. And I go back and forth all the time because Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, I think, are amazing. I think they're tremendous. But ultimately, the style in which the 49ers play, I mean, they are fierce. They are aggressive on defense, and they have a tremendous running game that can keep that off that Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. So I do think that it could easily turn into that style of game that you're talking about and referencing towards 2013. I don't think it'll be that big of a blowout if they win, but I could see it shape up to be like that.
Okay, what was the 43-8, 35 points. I agree that San Francisco is not going to be 35 points better than Kansas City. That is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, mark it down with the Sharpie that's in my hand.
Oh, no, Tom, don't say that. The minute you say that, it's going to happen.
Boom. Right there, they're going to be 34 points better. I don't think it's going to be that big of a blowout, but we could be looking at, geez, how many points is Kansas? Like 40-20, something like that.
I would say that probably
40-29,
however the score is, I could see the 49ers being in control of the game and have, you know, a 14 plus point, you know, lead when it's all said and done. Like, that's, I could see that narrative and that unfolding very quickly. But I do agree with Stacey. That's why I'm torn on this, is that Patrick Mahomes is just different. He is a different kind of quarterback. He is, you know, a guy that, you know, surprisingly, as Stacey pointed out, can play well under pressure, but then has this ability to create. And he has this special, unique ability to create with so many different weapons that can stretch the field. And it's not your normal traditional offense that you've seen flourish and be successful in the past.
You know, first, I like your quote. I just wrote it down, Jake. This should be tweeted out. Everybody should see this. People get lost in the excitement of Patrick Mahomes. That is a darn true statement right there.
But he
people
is exciting.
Get lost. He is
they
exciting.
Do get lost. They do get, well, no, actually, no.
They don't?
Patrick Mahomes is phenomenal. One of the best and most fun players I've watched. But I think that people have this kind of replacement. We can only have one person on the pedestal at once. And if I like Patrick Mahomes, then no other quarterback is good enough, instead of recognizing the things that other quarterbacks might excel at. That Patrick Mahomes still needs to learn.
But that's the beauty of the NFL right now, is that we've got a lot of guys we can look at that way. Patrick Mahomes is the reigning MVP.
I just think sometimes we treat players like it's like, this style of clothing is in right now. And whatever quarterback you liked before, that's old news.
Like, what style of clothing is that?
I don't know.
What's old right now?
Nothing
that's
going
new?
To resonate with our audience.
Really?
Baggy shorts. Baggy shorts used to be in for
when?
A long time. The late 90s, early 2000s.
Like cargo shorts?
2010s? No, like basketball shorts.
Oh, okay.
Now it's all about tight shorts. That's
because
a huge
the 90s
style
are back.
You know, it's coming back. Corduroys.
Oh, no.
Corduroy
stop
pants.
That right
oh,
they are?
So
Kyle,
fly. Oh,
stop
yeah.
It.
You see Taylor, Gross never stopped wearing his corduroys.
That's
he kept
true.
Him in style.
Yeah. Well, because he knew it'd come back. It's like leaving your Christmas lights up. Eventually, it's going to come back
I saw
around.
Something yesterday that was advertising for corduroy shorts. And I was like, man, that is a bold
kid. I don't
bold
know about
call.
Shorts.
Now, me saying getting lost in Patrick Mahomes, people get lost in Patrick Mahomes, it has nothing to do about one quarterback or the other. It's about this matchup. It's about the Super Bowl matchup. People get lost and how great Patrick Mahomes is, and sometimes you look at this matchup, and ultimately it does come down to the fact that you have a defense in the San Francisco 49ers that can do a tremendous job getting after the passer. Their secondary has been playing aggressive. They've been playing great all year long, and Kansas City really hasn't seen a group like them. They played the Baltimore Ravens earlier in the year before they really started taking off, but this is a tremendous group that the 49ers have in the secondary. The running game in which the 49ers are going to present, to me, is more dynamic, and it's better than what the Tennessee Titans possessed. You look at Derrick Henry, and he was a one-man show.
It's definitely
Shanahan,
more dynamic, yeah.
Shanahan's got a far superior offense than what they had. So I just look at it from a matchup standpoint that the 49ers, I mean, they're a group to be reckoned with.
What would you rather have? Because I would say that Derrick Henry is a better running back than any one guy San Francisco has.
Without question.
Right, but San Francisco's got different looks.
Would you rather have the
looks.
Rotation?
Yeah, what would you
well,
rather
have? Well, that's kind of when we were talking about the defensive line, that Seattle had a kind of depth that you know, maybe San Francisco doesn't have, but San Francisco put up better numbers strictly from the defensive line.
I would rather have an offensive coordinator that can design and create running lanes for whoever it is and be able to run the football at an unbelievable rate than have one guy and want him to, you know, every defense goes into every game knowing that they have to stop that one.
That's
kind of
what the Seahawks have right now. Is Chris Carson. We're supposed to have Rashad Penny, which would change that up. I mean, that would give us our ideal situation. Creative coordinator with the running game in two completely different running styles, and maybe even CJ Pro size three. But we don't have that. We really have one guy. He's not like a Derrick Henry, but he's the one guy that we rely on.
Well, he's a top five running back. I mean, he's a special talent.
Sure, but we had worst case scenario happen at the end of the season. Yes. He ended up missing the last three games including two playoff games.
Correct.
Can't happen.
You're absolutely right. And you weren't, when you point to that comparison, you weren't healthy all across the offensive line. You weren't in a position to, you know, take over games from that standpoint. And you look at the creativity aspect of it from the running style. You know, Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniels there, who is the run game coordinator for the 49ers, do an excellent job of setting things up, and they, you know, Packers knew that they were going to run the football and they couldn't stop it because of all the different ways that they were getting it done. So I think that's if the Seahawks want to emulate some of the style in which they do, they have to continue to get creative in the way that they go about running the football and the way they play action. And that's why I love watching the 49ers.
This hour of Tom, Jake, and Stacey is brought to you by Car Toys. We were supposed to have Jerome Bettis call in from down at the Super Bowl. I'm guessing that's probably not going to happen right now because it's a madhouse. It's a free-for-all. It's anarchy, complete anarchy down there. So that's all right, though. I want to ask you guys about something else because late in our show yesterday, we got that news that it's possible that Kraken is going to be the new name of the NHL.
Yeah, and you guys were mad.
Seattle NHL team. I was not happy. Now, the NHL Seattle Twitter handle came out and said that they had not decided on anything yet after that.
Yeah, well, that was in a statement. So Andy Eid, who covers the T-Birds for 710sports.com, reached out for a statement, and that's posted on 710sports.com, where they basically said, it's kind of like a non-statement, where they said, look, we haven't really commented on it yet.
Right. So I put out a tweet when I went home. Got 3,100 votes. That's a lot. I said, how do you feel about the name Kraken for the Seattle NHL team, if indeed that's the name? You guys want to guess the percentages?
Always.
Okay. I've got three categories. Love it, it's decent, or anything but Kraken.
I'm going to guess 70% said anything but Kraken, only based on the response that I have gotten anecdotally from people that I've spoken to about it.
She says 70%.
For anything but Kraken.
I will go
71%.
I'll go 60%.
You don't win anything.
I'll
here.
Go 60%.
Same answer.
You're both wrong. It's a lot lower. Now, there's three categories, so you got to remember, it's going to be divided up a little bit lower.
Oh, so you think it could be like a, I was going to say a 50-50-50.
This is one weird poll, man.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'll just give it to you.
Okay.
42%. Love it. 26% say it's decent.
Okay.
32% say anything but Kraken.
I think the people that are clicking love it are voting recklessly, and I like it.
Crazy
I'm
people.
Okay with it.
I think the people that say it's decent, that's where your divide is. So it's basically 50-50. It's probably more like 60-40, like 60 love it, 40 don't feel so great about it.
See, I can convince myself of either or. Like I said, it would be a sweet hype-up video before the game, you know, before everything starting. You see it on the Jumbotron, they're playing it, and they say, you know, release the Kraken, and everybody gets pumped up. But then Kyle brings up a great point. Do you really want your gear to have a
picture of Liam Neeson on it?
Yes.
A picture of octopus on it.
Yes,
I do. You got a squid.
You do.
Yeah.
That's going to look sweet.
No, you
at this point, I've staked my claim. No matter what happens, I will not back down from this. It could be like, hey, the team colors are going to be neon orange and I don't know, another hideous color.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, great.
I'd be okay with that, too.
Great.
Hey, can I tell you one more thing?
Please. Yeah.
My father was listening to the end of our show yesterday in this whole discussion. He called me when I was driving home. He said, Tommy, I got the name.
What was it?
The Seattle.
Okay.
Software.
Seattle Software. Oh, come on.
Tom Wassel, bringing the heat. Tom Sr.
Let me tell you. My dad's had a lot of bad ideas in his day.
That's the worst one?
No. I like it.
Tom,
get out of here.
No, you don't.
Think about the things you could do with the, with the jersey. No, Seattle Software.
Software.
Check.
No, that is not check.
No,
that is,
no,
that is the improper
that's
use
a
of the check,
check,
Tom.
You're using it incorrectly. That is wrong. You are incorrect.
Seattle Software.
No.
That's the name.
No.
That's what it is.
And we don't know. I mean, it's...
Oh, but then when I did say yesterday, like, do you want to walk around in a hat with a squid on it? I don't think so. And Eric the Bulldog Dad tweeted me with a good point of like, so you'd rather walk around with a weird red fish on it? Like, what do you really want here? What are the alternatives?
What if it's a floppy disk?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
No, Stacey,
no,
don't
no,
even...
yeah, let's get back to irrelevant software.
Yes, like an old 5 1/4 floppy
a
disk.
A CD-ROM.
No, that's too recent.
Okay.
But I've seen, to counter that, I've seen some cool mock-ups of like the...
Of the Kraken?
No, of the salmon, right? Of like the sockeyes or steelheads or something like that. Like I've seen some really cool designs for that, and I think it would look really good on an NHL jersey.
I think steelhead sounds better.
I do too. I would take steelheads
that
over all of these.
That has always been my vote. Is steelhead.
But I would rather be called software than salmon.
No. Well, yeah.
If you had to choose.
If I had to choose, I would. I don't want either one. I don't want either one, Tom.
Well, you know what? This is going to be a lingering thing in today's program and probably for a little while. So okay. We'll keep it on the back burner. We got three questions coming up next. You know what? We've got this question about Russell Wilson and who his contemporaries are. There's one guy we've completely forgotten about. We'll talk about it next. 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's time for three questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 12 after 12, Tom Wassel's burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Enough with the we got to protect the kids nonsense.
Question number one. What's the biggest reason you think the XFL can succeed where the AAF didn't? And speaking of the XFL, hold on. The XFL Seattle Dragons today announced an agreement with 710 ESPN Seattle, that's us, to make the Bonneville Seattle station the home of Dragons programming and shows beginning February 5th.
Exciting.
Yeah.
So now we're going to get some programming on the Dragons, so we'll have all that covered for you here on 710.
Will that be the reason why the XFL succeeds? Because we've got the XFL programming
here in Seattle.
Yeah.
The Dragons.
All right,
they're going to be successful. But the one reason why I think the XFL is going to be really good, at least in year one, we'll see what ends up happening in year two. But I think Vince McMahon, it's not a question about money in the AAF. They never had the money, never. And so they just kept continuing to lie and trying to buy their time as they were trying to find more funding and eventually put themselves into really bad positions. The XFL, the funding is there. They already have the TV deals done. That's appropriate. That look, they're not going to be making a ton of money off of them, but they're going to be getting that same national exposure. So I think that the way that they have set this up, they've done a good job. It's been professional. And ultimately, they're going to have a full run. So we'll see how fans react, how they grasp onto the product. That will be, you know, the curious aspect of it going into year two.
Number two.
What about Stacey? I was pointing at her.
It's Dragon Time, man. It's Dragon Time right now.
It's Dragon Time.
We're still on question one. Continue.
Oh, well... My response was going to be a Game of Thrones related, but then I realized it was a spoiler. So instead of that, I said nothing.
Oh. Well, never mind.
All right.
Do you guys know what the octopus is in the NFL?
Can I guess?
This is not Kraken related.
Are you sure? Okay.
Yeah.
Is it an octopus chooses the winner?
No.
What?
It's not the soccer.
There is an octopus logo in the NFL. Is that what you're
logo?
Saying?
Logo? No.
Oh, like how sometimes in the dollar you can find certain signs?
Nope.
Okay. Is it an octopus?
Nope.
I don't know, Tom. I have no idea.
Is up for NFL commissioner?
Nope.
Roger Goodell an octopus.
We're not even. We're not even close.
I'll give you a clue. It's an accomplishment in the NFL.
It's an accomplishment?
The 2019, the annual Octopus Award.
Okay.
Going to the league's greatest offensive lineman.
No.
Who feels like his arms at any point are long and they are anywhere.
No.
Okay.
If, say, you're Russell Wilson or any player,
mm-hmm.
you score a touchdown.
Okay.
Then you go for a two-point conversion.
Uh-huh.
You also score that touchdown.
Right.
You've completed the octopus.
Where'd you hear that from?
Where? What?
Jake has never heard this
what?
Before in
Tell
his
you
life.
Right now.
What, a 1930 handbook on playing
nope.
football?
Nope. There's a prop bet. Will there be an octopus
Stop
in the game?
It. Like, do they? Are you sure they don't mean a real octopus on the field? You're
yes.
positive.
Where is this?
What do you mean,
you're,
where?
You're showing me a piece of paper, but what is this from?
An octopus. Well, it's from the you know, the casinos.
Oh, oh.
How's this an octopus?
The voice like in the desk.
I told you it was a prop bet. What do you need, a roadmap?
Betting term.
I have never,
never
ever
in my life
heard this.
Can you imagine some guy in the huddle? Hey, you guys, you want to go for the octopus?
Hey,
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 huddle up.
We're down. We're down. This octopus situation here. Octopus.
Yeah, we're
octopus.
Behind. Man, we're only behind by a field goal and an octopus. I'll tell you what.
But the same guy has to score. All right, anyway.
The same guy has to score, so this is like a turkey in bowling.
So it's eight points for
it's
one guy.
No, it's actually not like that at all.
So it's like, oh, Travis Kelce got an octopus. He
Travis
got
Kelce.
8 points on a possession.
Well, here's the, yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Huh. I've never heard this before.
Neither have I.
I'm going to throw out this term, and we're going to figure out if
so?
We can make it stick.
Okay. Will there you know, be an octopus? You guys still haven't told us.
You guys.
In this game,
I'm
going
to say yes. I'm going to say this game is going to be close, and so I think someone's going to need to go for an octopus. I also would like to see. I would like to see one of us remember this because I'd like to see one of us talk to a player when we get back to the season when we have the huddle. One of us, straight faced, needs to ask a player, "Did you ever think about going for an octopus in that moment?" And
Stacey,
they're the winner.
Stacey, I nominate you for that job.
I'll do it.
All right. Next.
I can't.
Number three.
An octopus?
And by the way, if that player gets more than one octopus, he gets an octopi.
Aha!
I actually don't think octopi is the plural.
It may not be. Is
we
it?
No. We can get into it later.
Octopuses?
I think that's it. What's question three, Tom?
Yeah, let's go with that.
It says octopuses and octopi are both acceptable in English.
Mm.
Which question? Yeah, all right. Who are Russell Wilson's contemporaries at quarterback
okay.
in the NFL?
So the reason that I like this question is when we're talking about Ryan Tannehill and some of these younger guys, and I'll throw Jimmy Garoppolo in there too, obviously the quarterback of the week too, being in the Super Bowl, but Lamar Jackson, all the younger guys, it feels like they're part of a generation. And then you've got Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, Tom Brady, all of these guys that are, quote, older. Not real life older, but in the game, they're the longtime veterans. I think that you've had so many busts in kind of the 2011, 12, 13 draft class at quarterbacks that sometimes Russell Wilson's overlooked. He's still considered one of the best quarterbacks, but I think because he doesn't have many contemporaries. Like, you look at some of the guys that were drafted with him. Here's 2011. Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Colin Kaepernick, 12. Ryan Lindley, Andrew Luck, RG3, Ryan Tannehill, Brock Osweiler, Nick Foles, Kirk Cousins, 13. EJ Manuel, Geno Smith, Mike Glennon, Matt Barkley. You know what I mean? Like, there are so few guys and his age that are playing as starters.
I would say Cam Newton is definitely a contemporary and a guy. I mean, he's been an MVP. So we can't put him in the bust group, even though the last 2 years have been tough.
Here are quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, same age, who were starters in 2019. Case Keenum, Ryan Tannehill, who at one point was a backup, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford. Andy Dalton's a year older, but that's it. That's it.
It is interesting. And it's at this point where right now, looking into 2020, to me, the top two quarterbacks in the league, it's not even a question, is Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. Those are the top two guys. And we're going to see, I guarantee you, we're going to see a bunch of different lists, and they're probably still going to have, you know, Brees and Brady and
what
some
about
of those
Lamar?
Guys. Lamar's going to maybe be
He's
going to
be
top
the
five.
MVP.
I mean, he'll be the MVP, but that doesn't mean that people will fully accept him as a top five quarterback. Cam Newton wasn't accepted as a top five quarterback during his MVP
he
season.
He wasn't?
Uh-uh.
That's not the way I remember it.
No, he wasn't all of a sudden vaulted into the top five conversation.
I thought there was more hype around Cam Newton in his MVP year than there was about Lamar Jackson this year.
And you're probably right. You're probably right. But there, you also have to remember there were still mainstays, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, yeah. Tom Brady. I think Manning was still around at that point. So you've got four of your five guys, Roethlisberger. Those guys were still widely considered the top five in their respective positions.
But Cam Newton was looked at as the future. He, you know, if you think about it, physically, he opened the door for guys like Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, the one guy who can just do everything. Because Brady and Brees and Rodgers can't do everything. Like, they were still thought of as better passers.
Yeah.
But Cam Newton was like the one-man wrecking crew that was just unstoppable.
He was unique and different from that aspect in terms of being able to run the football and be a legitimate running back as he played quarterback. So I look at it and I still look at it and say, you know, Patrick Mahomes are going to be one and two. It'll be interesting to see what the national media will be like because I think Deshaun Watson gets a lot of love. Lamar Jackson gets a lot of love. And so just going to your point that, you know, people are already looking to the new young group, you know, as they're moving forward.
Who do you think's better at just consistently getting octopuses, though?
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
Who has the most octopuses in the history of the NFL?
I'll look that up, Tom, during the break.
We haven't really gone into that study, and I don't know if anybody has before. So I mean,
we're breaking new ground.
Yeah, we really could be.
You don't know if anybody has what gotten one
in the history of the world
has gone into
this study.
Yes, yeah. I don't think this has even been brought up.
Before. Well, that's what we're here for, Tom, Jake, and Stacey show. Like we're breaking new ground in sports.
Like I've always said, interesting and fun.
You've always said that.
I have. I say it every day.
You say it every day.
Shaquille Griffin is breaking the same laws as Russell Wilson. We're going to talk about that next. 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Rost.
Guys, the other day, we really made a lot of people upset when we talked about that Russell Wilson quote where he said essentially that he wants the Seahawks to bring in superstar players to make this team better. There was an opinion held by some that he was out of line in doing that, in using the media, going through the media to make that point, and that players shouldn't be doing it. So whatever you think about that whole thing, just put that to the side. For a second, we have another quote here from another Seahawk, Shaquille Griffin, cornerback, who says this to Joe Fan of NBC Sports Northwest. He says, I want to work on more man press techniques and be able to move around. If one game I have to be in the slot, maybe travel a little bit more. And evidently, this is something that he's already talked to the team about. This is the first time he's gone public with a reporter. So, again, it's another example of a player speaking out on something that he wants the team to do
right
with him to the media.
And he wants Pete Carroll and Ken Norton Jr. to be able to put him in those positions, right? He's saying, I want to be that lockdown guy. I want to be able to cover the number one receiver man-to-man across the field. And if I have to do it the whole game, fine. If in specific situations in crunch time, I'm willing to take on that challenge and wanting to take on that challenge. And not only is he just saying that, to me, that would be its own thing, right? Great. Shaquille Griffin is confident in himself. Can he do it or not? Remains to be the question. But, hey, he has the confidence and wants to challenge himself in that aspect. But then he's saying that he has already brought this up to the coaches, has been denied by the coaches, and is going to continue to advocate it to the coaches. So now, when you're bringing up those two conversations about Russell Wilson and now Shaquille Griffin, to me, I'll just say this. I don't think either one of them is wrong, is bad, puts the team in a bad position. But I can see if you go to that argument and you say that Russell Wilson's was against the line or it
was out of line,
was out of line and goes over it, then what Shaquille Griffin is saying, I think, is definitely stepping over the line, is far exceeding than what Russell did. Russell kind of stating the obvious in a very roundabout way. Griffin's saying, hey, I want a scheme change. I don't want to be just the left corner. I want to play man-to-man. And I brought it up. I said, hey, coaches, I want to do this. And now I'm telling the media that I've been saying this and advocating for it.
I just I know that it's more fun to kind of look at like, well, what might this mean? But I really think that both comments are just completely benign. And maybe it's knowing those two players and having spoken to them. And Jake, obviously, you know Russell Moore, but all of us having interviewed both Russell Wilson and Shaquille Griffin.
I had the same, I had the same birthday as those guys, so I know them better.
Oh, got it. Okay, yeah. Very important to know. I'd have a hard time believing that there was any kind of malintent there, but I don't know. I mean, to me, one is just stating this very generic. Russell Wilson's comment couldn't have been any more generic to me as far as saying like, yeah, we need new pieces. It'll be really cool.
But
I know that it's more than
pieces.
I know that it's what
it's
he would
superstar.
Normally. I know that that's the word that we're focusing on, but he's also gone to a point in his career, specifically in Pete Carroll's system, where Pete Carroll never had a problem and sometimes seemed to encourage a kind of advocacy from his, I don't want to say older players, from his veteran players to kind of take charge in the program. And when you're in a player-friendly program, I feel like the way to keep that message from getting stale is to take more and more a part in the leadership of that program. And I wouldn't be shocked if that was a kind of behavior and ownership that was encouraged by Pete Carroll. And I wouldn't be shocked if they've had those conversations.
When would Shaquille Griffin have started to advocate for himself to be in man press techniques to his coaches? I mean, remember the year before this, in 2018, he had a bad year. So at what point between the bad year and now did he start saying, I want to be lockdown man?
Probably during the middle of the year. Probably
watching
them get torched up and saying, hey, I want to lock down their number one guy.
This is a case. Have you ever heard the expression rabbit shoes?
Yeah.
No.
You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
No. What do you think it is?
When rabbits wear shoes.
I might be thinking of it completely different.
No, that's why I want you to define it.
Okay. Well, I mean, to me, the term that I heard of rabbit shoes is just that you're stepping in someone else's shoes in terms of making decisions, and that you should be left to just sticking in your own shoes.
It's kind of that. It's the guy at work who wants to do everything because he got a little bit of confidence to it. He got a little bit of, he performed well at some point. Now he thinks he can do everything. I think that's the case. This is a case of rabbit shoes. I think he needs to focus.
You think with Russell Wilson?
No, with Shaquille Griffin. He needs to focus on what he's told to focus on and get better at that.
I mean, that's fair, but part of this could also be a self-critique. Don't forget, he gave himself a D grade for his season in 2018.
That's what I just said.
I know, but this could be something where it's coming off to us like he's got rabbit shoes, like he's saying like, well, now I want to do this. Now I'm confident. I had a good year and I want to do this. But it could also be another kind of self-critique, like a way of saying, you know, and now I want to get better in this area because I really think I could do it. And, you know, I'd like a chance at that. I feel like athletes are always trying to not just self-critique, but improve in some other way.
Great for him if he's got that confidence. And we all want that for him, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
There's no question.
That's great that he's got it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he can say all he wants. Oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. Those are great goals. Maybe eventually they'll let him. Maybe.
Maybe. But they didn't even let Richard Sherman do that. I mean, you know, I don't know if Richard Sherman was advocating for it or not, but...
But it doesn't really matter. What's Shaquille Griffin going to do? Like, throw a tantrum because he wasn't allowed to play, to be a lockdown guy?
No, not at all. But I think it is interesting from the standpoint that he is going out and saying, and I agree with you, Stacey, that the intent... But sometimes as players, we have the greatest intentions of how we speak to the media, and this is an example of our words or intentions as an athlete then get twisted or used in a different way. Right. So is Shaquille Griffin saying that he is mad at the organization for not letting him play man-to-man coverage? No.
No.
But that he wants to. That he wants to and is willing to do that. And so it's a decision ultimately that's going to fall down the coaching staff and what they want to do. But now we're having this conversation. So we're having this conversation publicly. Are they doing the right thing by not, you know, you look at the Green Bay Packers game. And I think a lot of people were upset that Shaquille Griffin was not on Devontae Adams on that third and nine, right? And so if you have a player like Shaquille Griffin who's been saying, I want to cover their best player man-to-man, and they are denying you that right in a critical moment of the game, I think that that's where it becomes a conversation.
Could he just go rogue? Do you remember there was times that people would cite Michael Bennett like, yeah, this is the play, but you'd see him even moving people. Hey, move over. I'm lining up right here, and I'm going, and this is what I'm doing.
You're saying could Oh,
when they break the huddle and it's third and nine and the season's on the line in Green Bay, does he go to Trey Flowers? Trey, get over.
You think that? I think he might still be too young to do that. You think a guy like Bobby or even Quandre Diggs would see that and be like, yeah, go for it? Or would Bobby as a defensive captain, Quandre Diggs as a former defensive captain, look at that and say, nah?
Don't think so, pal.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know. Honestly, here's the thing. I don't think they'd be able to stop all that from the time happening. Now, could Shaq go rogue in that moment? Sure, he could. But that's also a huge liability. You better be right. Like, that's one of those things. If you're
right, if you mess that up, Bobby Wagner's putting the fear of God.
Can they switch him in and out of man during a game?
Yeah, of course
they
can.
Yeah, okay, so what? All right.
Of course they can. Absolutely. And so that's, I think that's the part is, look, if I go to go in the slot for if for one game, I got to play in the slot, I'm willing to do that. That was a quote he said. Maybe travel a little bit more. I think those are things that Shaquille Griffin is looking at from a competitive standpoint that he would like to do more often. And so it's just interesting. Coming back to that premise, is this wrong of him or not wrong of him? I ultimately say that it's not wrong of him, that it shouldn't be a big deal and you know, poked at in the sense that, oh man, this is starting controversy and he's stepping over the line. But I could definitely see how some people could take it that way.
Is there anything from Kansas City or San Francisco that the Seahawks should think about borrowing? And does it matter which team wins? We'll talk through that next. 710 ESPN Seattle.